Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
It's 7 o'clock. You know what that means. And you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. You know what that means. Time for Here Now with Rachel C. I'm your host, Rachel C. Joining me in the studio tonight is the one and only Kelsey Warren. His latest project is Black Emoji. We're going to be talking about that and a whole bunch of stuff. Right now, we're going to kick things off with something from our friend Shark Muffin by something else from our other friends, Castle Black.
Yeah.
We just heard music from Chuck Muffin and Castle Black. Sharp Muffin is on tour right now in Europe. Castle Black is basically, where isn't Castle Black playing lately? Castle Black is popping up all over the place, and they are tight. They just like, they melt face every time I see them, and I saw them just last week. They do. They seriously do. They are tight as F. If you want, you can see them tonight, actually. It's possible. They are on the bill with Mora Tauk, I Am the Polish Army, and Molten over at Gold Sounds. It's 44 Wilson Avenue from 7 to 11. Go and see them after Here and Now with Rachel C. Like I said, as we say every week, Here and Now with Rachel C. celebrates live performance, culture, and activism in the arts. So I tell you about things to go out and see and do, because I want you to go out and see and do this thing. Also happening, we talked about this a lot last week, Love Honey. Free show at Rockwood Music Hall this Saturday, the 19th. They go on at 11:30, stage 2. Did we mention it was free? Get your asses in the seats, or on the floor, rather. That episode of Here and Now will be on Podomatic for your streaming pleasure this evening. For those of you a little bit north of the city, up in Kingston, New York, at the Kingston Arts Collective this weekend, Spaghetti Eastern and Mancini Warren will be performing, available for your listening pleasure, 63 Broadway. That's at the Kingston Arts Collective. My guest tonight is going to tell you about a show he has coming up on the 24th at Pianos. Kelsey Warren is in the studio with me.
Hola.
Hola.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. You brought the guitar. We're going to do it. So Kelsey, you've been rocking New York for a very long time. But the latest project you've got is called Black Emoji. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? You've been playing with the band for a little while now, but you, so like, well, just like, how did Black Emoji come together, and like, how that all happened?
Black Emoji is about a little over 3 years now, and I was in a band before. It was kind of more like a hard rock band. It was pop, but it was elements of metal and punk and stuff like that. It was your two guitar, bass and drum type of thing, and I guess I was in a different place, and I wanted to do something a little more not the same thing. And I started going back to listening to a lot of old electronic stuff and a lot of new modern stuff, and it's kind of like, I want to do something different. So I just stopped. I went into a studio for like 6 months and hibernated and just made a bunch of tracks, and this Black Emoji thing just kind of happened out of that.
It's,
and
like, you can hear like the electric, it doesn't sound like EDM though.
No.
And we'll hear that, but you hear the electronic influence. It's I guess when I'm listening to it, it brings to mind more like the 80s influence.
Yeah.
Where you're kind of exploring the electronic side of keyboards and like what synthesizers, what you could plug your instruments into,
yeah,
to make them sound different. It's not really, like, even like, I hear a little bit of Prince in there. I hear
definitely,
a little bit of,
definitely.
Who else am I thinking? I'm hearing just, there's a funk element to it.
Mm.
But how did the, so she like, you go into the studio, or you emerge 6 months later,
pretty
so
much,
to,
yeah,
so to speak, and like, so, but I know you've got a band behind you on this. Like, how'd that all come together like that?
Well, it started out as just me being lonely.
So basically, but you just decided to call it Black Emoji, or is like that sort of like the new? I'm just curious how that all. So, but were you then playing? Did you record all the instruments? Did you play
yes.
all the? Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's a few songs that
I know you play several instruments, but yeah, I wasn't sure if those were, that was you actually recording everything. So that is you. That you're like one man banded it.
Most of it, yeah. It's kind of like a, you know, like a Trent Reznor, Nine Inch Nails type of thing is where I was going, where I'm gonna do and just play all this stuff, and then I'll get somebody to do a track or two.
Right.
Brian Viglione, who was an incredible drummer. He used to be with the Dresden Dolls. He's still with Dresden Dolls, and has an amazing band called The Scarlet Sails with his wife. He played on a song called Poison to Medicine. He did all the drum stuff in the end. Right. I'm a shitty drummer. Oh, can I say the S-word?
Yeah, this is internet radio. There's no FCC here.
Cool.
We can say lots of words.
Well, in that case, I'm a fucking shitty drummer. So
fucking shitty drummer.
Fucking shitty drummer.
Shitty as fuck.
So he's on that track. There's an old friend of mine, Scott Garapolo, who was in many bands with me, an amazing cat. He played drums on a track, and then I played everything else pretty much. And you know, I want to keep it that way, where I can play things, but everybody can come in. It's not like there's nothing that is set in stone. I don't have to play everything, and it doesn't have to be a band. It's like whatever the song,
Okay.
Whatever's best for the song.
So this is, I guess, like this what you're, these tunes, this collection is kind of, we're calling it Black Emoji. Is that
yes.
Whole, that's kind of what we're calling it. That's
it's cool. It's all Black Emoji.
Where'd the name Black Emoji come from?
I don't know.
I know the story behind the spelling of it.
Yeah.
If this isn't just an urban legend, it had to do, it's B-L-A-K.
Correct.
Emoji. It had to do with the URL that being available.
That is definitely one of the things.
Oh, it's one. Oh, it's a partial story. Okay.
It's mainly that. So I was like, oh man, I want to grab that. But
it's, you know, it's true though. I've heard this from bands that I've had in the studio over the last few years. It's like, you know, when you name yourself, you actually have to think about what you're naming yourself.
Yeah.
Because you don't know, you want to be searchable. You want people to
exactly,
find you.
Exactly.
And there are some stories I've heard about, like, people, we name ourselves, we put ourselves out there, and you get enough recognition, you need to hold that name, but sometimes you don't know what comes up.
Yeah, yeah.
The Google, it gets a little dicey.
It can be, yeah. Google so
it gets,
is
it gets
weird.
It gets a little X-rated sometimes.
Yeah. we're pretty straight so far. If you just do B-L-A-K emoji, you don't see any crazy stuff yet.
Yeah. So. Okay, enough about the Google searches and stuff. So you got this whole project. So you've been on this for a while. You have an album, Kumi, that is set for release in February, but it was out. So there was like a sneak peek kind of release. What's the story behind that? I know that you had listeners had a chance to download, like purchase it late last year, but like it was like you had a window, you had to jump on it, and now there's what's the story behind that? And also, I mean, it's kind of interesting. I jumped on it. I have it. I love it.
Thank you.
And I know that you're actually doing some funding, like some crowdfunding for
yes.
it now.
Yes.
So what's it sounds like Kumi's kind of evolving a little bit right now. What's happening with it?
So the story is basically this. Well, we really wanted to put this out September, and there unfortunately wasn't enough press and wasn't enough buzz. So it was kind of like I really wanted to get it out because I said I was going to be out. It was going to be out this specific time. So I guess as a remedy, it was like, let's just do a soft release for our fans and our, you know, immediate people for a weekend. Put it out for a weekend. Don't put it on Spotify. Don't put it on Apple. Don't put it on any of the major internet platforms. Just put it through our website and through Bandcamp. And it was actually a pretty successful thing. And then we did a party for it and played live. We did the whole album from beginning to end, I think, except for the last song. So it was kind of like to cover a fuck up or a cover something that, you know, wasn't delivered. So in this way, it was kind of like, okay, now we have time to promote it properly. And we also have the luxury of giving it out to fans early.
It's kind of, it almost feels now like the way you're describing, kind of like it's an insider's release for people who are like following and in the know. They kind of got, they got the kind of delivered on the promise, like we have it for you, but you can kind of now polish it up. And
this happens pretty often now with bands. It seems a lot of people will do like little soft releases and then they'll.
Yeah, I'm seeing the trend towards also very like small releases, like, you know, three songs every couple of months. It seems like part of that's a cost thing.
And, that too,
especially for people, and they're doing it through the streaming services and stuff like that. So it's like you get three songs,
right?
Like very well done, well produced, rather than like, you know, 10 or 8 or 10.
Yeah,
you know, once a year, and it's just a way to kind of keep the interest going. But,
exactly.
Yes, yeah, so,
we dropped like two singles that were not released before: "Lust Love Above" and "Another Club Night." They both came out at the tail end of last year. So they're still going, and then the album will come out next month, February 22nd.
We're going to hear it tonight.
We're ready now, almost.
Almost ready. So we've got the album official release coming up. Where would you like to see this go? Black Emoji Project, the Black Emoji songs. Where'd you like to see this go?
Well, that all ties into, I guess, why we released this later. I felt like it was going to just be out and not be heard if we released it officially in September. If you are doing your DIY thing, your indie thing, or hell, even if you're doing a major label type of vibe, you always need promotion. You always need publicity. You always need these things so people know that it's out, so people can hear it, so people can read about it, or else you're just lost in a wash. And that's what would have happened last year. So we pushed it specifically because of that. Right now, we're actually doing a GoFundMe campaign to help pay for publicity and promotion and stuff. It can be a little pricey, but the sad truth is it's kind of make or break for bands these days, or artists in general. If you don't have that little bit of machine, and you can control the machine, it doesn't have to be a big machine like Sony, but you do need some kind of something to really get it out there.
You've got to stand out with right. all the other noise that's out there.
Exactly.
And all the other stimuli that's out there, and all the other everything.
Right. The tree in a forest thing. You don't want to be the tree in a forest where no one's around and the tree's like burning, and the tree's like, help, man, help, I'm dying. And it's kind of like, yeah. I don't see a tree. I don't hear a tree.
It's an awesome tree over there. Yeah.
The tree just dies.
Tree, man.
We didn't want that to happen with this album.
No, don't let that tree die.
No.
And I encourage you all to check out Black Emoji on the social pages where you can find the links for the GoFundMe.
Please.
You are listening to Here Now with Rachel C. on Radio Free Brooklyn. Once again, if you're missing tonight's broadcast, you just want to hear the whole thing all over again, because I think you might want to, tune in Sunday for the rebroadcast at 9 a.m. So Kelsey brought the guitar. So I don't know if you want to get into this now.
Do we do that now?
We should. Yeah. We could do that. You could give I you a little taste of what you're going to catch on February 22nd. We're set up.
Let's see. What should I do?
Play the music.
People cannot see here because there's no video. But I kicked the water. It was an accident.
And if station management is listening, he kicked it in the direction away from everything. So don't worry. We got this.
It's safe. No, everybody safe. Is safe.
Don't worry. It's like so far away from like important wiry things. Don't worry, guys.
Cool. So I guess this song is one of the singles. It's called Another Club Night. And it's about a club night. Telephone, makeup, sugar cane, prescription, make out, hotel, rooftop, champagne, on our lips and in the air, alright, provocateur, all the bane tonight, on the list, wherever you wanna be, about to get wrecked, you debauchery, before the next phase, responsibility. Another club high lies ahead of me. Looking my best now that you can see. Drinking my hand and the coke for free. Another club night lies with me. With blinding bright lights. Who's that drunk celebrity with sunglasses in the bathroom line? Stumble, catch, fall, caress with consent. Plain hips and body sweat. She's got me catching feelings while the beat drops, bass drops, don't stop. Bushwick after hours next on the clock. Another club high lies ahead of me. Looking my best now that you can see. A drink in my hand and the white for free. Another club night, it's another club night. You're drinking my hand and the white for free. Another club night lies ahead of me. We can do it.
all again. We can do it all again. We can do it again. No, no. Ooh, ooh. Another club highlights ahead of me. Looking my best, now you can see. A drink in my hand and the wife for free. Another club night, another club night. A drink in my hand and the coke for free. Another club night, another club night. Drink in my hand and the wife for free. Another club night is the death of me.
Thank you. Awesome. You're listening Here Now with Rachel C. That was Kelsey Warren just doing a live rendition of Another Club Night. I just want to take this moment to remind you, you can listen to Radio Free Brooklyn on the go. radiofreebrooklyn.org/iPhone or /Android for the apps. I listen to them. They sound great. Thank you for that. I bet that sounded great through those apps.
Yeah, the apps.
So what inspires your writing?
Like a bunch of things. Just life.
Just life.
Just life. That's so fucking broad. I know. I used to work at a club and it's kind of weird because I like a lot of current music. I like a lot of pop music and dance music, but there's a lot that I don't like as well. So my thing was, I was working at this club a couple of years ago, actually. I haven't been there in ages. And I would do this thing where I would go down and I would study like what songs are really moving people or what's the vibe that moves people. And I was like, man, I want to write dance songs, but not like these dance songs. It's something that's going to move you, but something where the lyrics are really kind of playful, tongue in cheek, but, you know,
Right. Semi-smart.
I don't know, you know, but something that was kind of like, how do I sound like myself? And so something a little bit different than what you're hearing on the radio, but also kind of fits within that groove as well. So I think that's where a lot of that came from. And a lot of ups and downs of life. It's kind of like there's certain bands that I grew up with that have this one thing and that one sound and that one topic, and I love that. But there's also the ones that I gravitate to the most are people like Dylan or people like Prince or people like Trent Reznor, and they're just covering all these different topics and all these different types of types of sounds and sonics. So I wanted to make this kind of like a mix and not just be a dance thing or a political thing, but it's like predominantly dance and it's fun, but there's also songs of love, there's songs of, you know, racism, there's songs of, there's so many different things.
And, yeah, you hear that. I encourage everyone to listen to Kumi and listen to it straight through, or even just pick out a song here and there and like kind of set it on random too, because you'll find one song doesn't sound very much like another one.
Right.
You know, in a good way, you know, like Sapiosexual has a very different vibe to it than say like Rats.
By far, yes, totally.
you could almost see how like two different bands might be playing those two different, like they, like it's different enough. It's clearly, but it's you, but it's like the sound is you're kind of exploring a lot of different things.
I'm trying to make it cohesive, but be all over the place at the same time.
Which kind of leads me to another thing. I know you've studied music. Do you think part of that's like you studied in Florida? Right.
I studied at University of Miami.
Right, University of Miami. So, I mean, part of, I guess, it's sort of like your training, kind of wanting to explore, like having like really sort of studied in depth different like styles and approaches and like really looked at music in depth. Is that like you wanting to explore the different sounds at all? Like, is that, do you think part of that's like your training and educational background at all?
Interesting. I think I wanted to explore different sounds and then different vibes, but I didn't really look at it as far as like coming from my training. I looked at it more coming from me as a fan, like listening to Prince and Human League and also listening to Mike Will and Travis Scott and stuff like that, as opposed to I sang classical and I played jazz guitar. So if that comes out, it comes out. But my intention was like, how do I do, you know, Prince in Human League with Mike Will. Like, how do I do
this? Right here.
That's more where it's coming from. But it's weird when you study music, it always comes out subliminally in a way. Uh-huh. But you learn things and you train and you do this stuff, and then you get on stage and it all goes out the window. I don't sing proper on stage, man. I just,
you don't have to. I think that's kind of the beauty of the whole thing is that,
I'm closer to Iggy Pop than I am with to Seal on stage.
So, and I've seen the video, so I'll concur with some of that.
I've seen them both just now. But it's weird.
On that note, I think I want to play a little bit more off the album. I've got something lined up here, and I have followed by a little something from another local band. How about a little Lust, Love, Above?
Yay.
Let's put that on Here and Now with Rachel C.
Sure.
We just heard Bambara. That was Dark Circles. Before that, we heard Less Love Above from Kumi, the Black Emoji album. I am in the studio tonight with Kelsey Warren of Black Emoji and many other projects. I wanted to remind you all that Radio Free Brooklyn is launching an after-school program for local teenagers this year to learn media literacy through media making using a hands-on approach guided by local professionals. If you listeners are interested in participating or donating to this program, please go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/afterschool. Remember, all your donations are tax deductible. We appreciate your interest, your participation. We're real excited about this program. It's been a long time in the making and in the works. Go to our website also. You can find out a little bit more about the program itself. We are a 501c3. Get your write-offs on. It's a new tax year. Get off to a good start. Support independent... small batch artisanal farm to table internet radio. Don't spill any more water, Kelsey. Don't do it.
I'm drinking the water so I don't spill it this time.
Flirt with the donate button right there. You can do it, guys. You can totally do it. But Kelsey Warren's joining me in the studio. Kelsey's current project is Black Emoji. There is a show on the 24th at Pianos. What time do you guys go on?
10 o'clock.
At 10 p.m. You need to be there. And support Pianos. It's one of the few remaining music venues on the Lower East Side.
We love pianos. That's pianos. One of our homes.
That's great.
Please support them. They're great.
Let's touch on that for a little bit, for a minute there. Because you've been playing around New York for a while.
Yes.
You've done, so, and the landscape has changed a little bit. And I know you've kind of been on both sides, kind of like in front of and behind the camera, so to speak.
Definitely.
Can you tell me a little bit about how, obviously things have changed a little bit, not just the way things are done, but I want to say the way things are done, but you know, that spaces or lack thereof, the need for them, you know, that's an issue now. What is it like out there as an artist now, like that now, like say versus then? I host so many bands on this show. It's always interesting them telling me when they share their experiences. A lot of people come here, like even in Brooklyn specifically, looking for the stage space, you know, the space to do things. But then they come here and sometimes there's the challenge of actually finding the rooms.
Yeah.
What is it like then and now? Or in some way, is it better in some ways? Is it like less of it? Are there different sort of challenges?
Definitely like, different challenges. I think one thing I noticed is that there was more longevity for clubs, say like over 10 years ago. As opposed to now, there's always clubs to play. That's the thing. There's always places to play, but it's a matter of now it's grand opening, grand closing. And
okay, so there's still rooms. You're saying like there's still the rooms.
Yeah.
One might get the impression like where the room, where
no,
are
I'm
the
not
rooms,
one of the,
you know?
Those musicians like there's okay. No place, there's four clubs. No, that's not true. There are plenty of clubs to play. It's okay. Finding good clubs to play.
Okay.
Is a challenge. Okay. And clubs where the sound is decent, clubs where the manager is pretty cool, people adore, you know, that whole package. There's certain places that still have that. Mercury Lounge is amazing. Pianos is great. But all these other clubs, I can't even remember anymore. They're gone. Arlene Grocery is still here too. They've been here for a while. I don't know. There was always something. There was a, I, you know, I'm going to sound like get off my lawn, but it seems like there was more, support. There was more support and more love for live music. And it's still there. It's people go out to see live music in Brooklyn and in Manhattan and other boroughs. But it's just difficult with the turnover with the clubs. And I think it's more, it's kind of like the DJs are kind of more of the stars in a way too. You know, it's like, I love the DJ culture. I love rock culture. I love the jazz culture. But I noticed has been more of a shift between, say, like the musician versus the DJ. You know, I embrace it all. Like, I love all that stuff. Right. But I noticed the dollar for the DJ has gone up more now as opposed to the dollar for the musician.
I can remember a shift like, you know, over a decade ago where like all of a sudden a DJ would be kind of like a DJ with a rep and a following. That was kind of a new thing, but like the dollars changing is even newer stuff.
There's always been, you know, DJs with followings and bands with followings, but just from being behind the scenes and working at a club and then also being an artist, seeing on the outside, and I'm like, wow, this band got this much and they pulled in this many people, and then this DJ pulled in less and they got more.
I see. So
and again, I'm not dissing DJs. I don't want anyone to be like, oh, he's anti-DJ, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm not. I fucking love mixing and remixing and all that. But I have noticed that is more of a new thing than it was back then.
Interesting. That is interesting. And I mean, you've gigged in so many places, and I'll ask you something that I ask all of, not just musicians that come on the show, but all the guests I have that I know have played here and elsewhere. And how would you compare playing New York to playing other places? And like, what are some of your favorite places to play? Like, is there a difference in New York versus other parts of the country or the world? Or
I feel like with that question, when people ask that question, this is just my opinion. I think if I was in LA and someone was like, what do you think about the LA scene versus everything else? I would be like, oh, the LA scene is like this. It's so much better to play other places. I think people say it's better to play other places because it's different from where you are from. If I didn't live in New York, I would probably just complain about where I lived and then would say, New York is the best place on earth to play. So it's almost like this weird biased question when people ask artists. I do like playing in New York. Uh-huh. I can't really answer where my favorite place is to play yet, because I don't think that I've accomplished that yet. There are places that I do love. I know that I loved playing in Budapest. That was fun. I loved playing in LA. Because again, I'm not from LA.
Right.
So when I go to LA, it's there's like this love, you know. I think it's like when you're outside of your surrounding, you want to go somewhere else where you can find love, where people are really into your band.
You want to like go exploring and see what's there. And I hope like that kind of informs your music and it kind of inspires it. And it kind of
it is inspiring.
It.
You know, I know that before I was in certain bands and we would play here to like 20 people. And then we would go somewhere else or in New Hampshire or Los Angeles and play in front of hundreds of people. And then you get like this love and respect. They want to buy the t-shirt. They want to know your name. They want you to sign this. They want you to do all these things because you're not from there, as opposed to coming back home and you're, you know,
right.
So many people have done that. And that's also a New York thing where it's like the Ramones kind of got this love outside of New York overseas. Blondie got that love outside of New York overseas. Talking Heads, we can go on and on and on from the history of just, okay, you're in New York, but you need to go outside of New York, and then you come back to New York, and then everybody wants to fuck with you. Everyone loves you.
Yeah, and if you're a New Yorker, that's a really frustrating thing, too. It's like, why?
It's a plus and minus.
It can feel that way. Yeah. I don't, as a New Yorker, it's kind of like, well, I'm from here. Why is it so hard for me?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Why don't I get like a little extra nudge because I'm from here?
Yeah, and it's cool. Like, I'm in a pretty decent position right now. It's like I'm not playing sold out shows to thousands of people, but I am not playing to nobody.
Right.
So it's kind of like this thing where it's like I still, and that's another reason why I wanted to do Black Emoji. I wanted to see people dancing. I want to see people not just standing there with their arms folded, judging you, giving you the New York test.
Old punk standing in the back, arms folded.
Not even. It could be a punk, it could be a Wall Street person.
Yeah.
I just want you to move and I want you to have a good time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make this music, and if you're not responding to it, then you don't like it. That's cool. But I wanted to do something a little bit more like, if, you know, I want it to feel like you're at a concert, but at a club, but I just want it to be a fun atmosphere. So then if you don't like me, then you just don't like our music, and that's okay.
you wanted to bring the joy.
I want to bring it out there a little more than, you know, what I was doing before. Yeah, New York can be tough, but it's also very embracing when you break through, you know? I like it here. I still like it here. I'm not totally jaded yet.
Yeah.
Almost jaded, Rachel.
Oh, just close?
I'm close.
I won't help you with that.
No.
Sorry. That's one thing I won't help you with, the jadedness.
Yeah. But what keeps it going is kind of like, I think there were another answer to your question is there were more clicks and more scenes. I don't know. When I moved to New York, I moved here like late 90s, and I think there was what people would say, okay, there's a ska scene, and then here's the punk scene, and here's the improv jazz scene. I think there's less scenes now. It's more of, who do you want to see? There's less, I don't know if there is a punk scene, it's underground, and I think that's awesome. I just don't know where it is. It was more prevalent in front of your face 10 years ago.
I've gone to shows, I went to one last week where the bill was so eclectic, and it's like people just kind of knew each other, the artists knew each other from a sense of community. Like the sense of community amongst the musicians was there, and that's how they all kind of found each other and they built the bill.
Yeah.
You would never have imagined this, and the sound kind of pinged back and forth for our genre. And it was kind of like, where am I? Where's it going? But it was pretty cool too, because it's like, and you looked around the room and you could see it, like, you saw intergenerational, like, you know, it was you had like you had like the rockers and the folk kids and the punks and the alt, and because that, and it was four acts on one bill that and I'm not, they didn't all sound different, but there was like varying sounds with the different acts, and you can do that, and I'm seeing a lot more of that.
That,
and I think part of that is out of necessity. Here in New York, you know, you don't go to one place necessarily. Hey, I want to hear like the new music in town. There isn't really a place for that. You got to have to find the new band or the new thing,
but that's
and then
what
go
it
find
is.
Them.
Yeah, and
so
cool.
Bands kind of sometimes have to find each other, and sometimes they have to approach a venue themselves. And I've known some musicians that have said, you know, kind of approached a venue and said, here's my band, but here are the other two, like presented a bill to a venue, an entire lineup. And it, that's how that developed. And it's kind of cool though, what you could find up with. Yeah. There might be those scenes that might be underground, but I'm seeing bills where it's like, you'll have a folk act and a rock act and like a dance
but
act.
That's what I love. That's like, what I love. I think when I moved here, there were scenes and it's almost a little clicky, but it's like I've always had a fascination with New York, like late 70s, early 80s, but that's what I loved. And I'm like, I want that to be New York. It was, you know, you would go to an art gallery and it would be music. And it was just all different styles. Like hip hop is messing with punk and disco and all these different things. It's different people. It's different styles. It's like we're all here because of this music, not because of it's jazz music or it's dance music. And now I think we're coming full circle with that, with these mix of bills where people are folk. And, you know, I like seeing shows where there's a band that sounds like Slayer and the next person sounds like Gucci Mane. Like this is our culture right now. Like that's
what's happening.
I think it's more of a, let's put the iPod on shuffle type of vibe. And I love that. I was in a predominantly rock band before, and my thing was, we would do these bills and then I would want to go to a dance club that did not play rock at all. Not because I didn't like it. It's because I wanted to dance after. I want to do different things. I like Kraftwerk. I like Slayer. I like a lot of different styles, you know? So New York has that again, which is good. So I think that's why it's never going to die, like musically. And, you know, whether there's a scene or not, the music is going to be there and they're going to gravitate towards that always.
Well said. We just think we just found like the hopeful, like the that's people say, where's the weird in New York? That's it. There's the lineup. Here. The lineup is the weirdness. It's like
the lineup
at the shows and some of the venues too.
Rockwood is a great venue too. I forgot to mention them.
Yes.
Rockwood Music Hall.
Yes, it is. Those pianos. And it's got some size to it. Pianos is a good size space. It's not the basement.
That's why I love pianos so much, because you can play and then there's dancing upstairs and then there's food. So
yeah, there are places like the Treehouse at 2A. I think they were doing
upstairs. Yeah, and they would show the whoever's playing upstairs on the wall outside.
Yeah,
that's a dope thing.
And hard to miss Second Street and Avenue A. You know, you can walk by it and you'll see through the window who's playing upstairs.
Yeah, and then there's a club under Berlin, which is kind of cool too. Right.
Three layers. Hey, it's like a club back in the 90s. Three floors of...
It's a club inside a club inside a club. Like a pocket inside a pocket.
It's basically what it is.
Pocket clubs. No.
Now for 1995, a pocket club.
What's in this pocket?
What's in this pocket? You're here now with Rachel C. on Radio Free Brooklyn. Rebroadcast will be 9 a.m. this Sunday. We also have a newsletter at Radio Free Brooklyn. You can sign up, keep up to date with new programming, upcoming RFB events, interviews, ticket giveaways, special offers on RFB swag, and more. You can sign up for radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter. Guess what the newsletter is called? You get one guess.
Here and Now.
Radio Free Brooklyn.
Fuck.
Although I've been toying with
thinking about you.
I was thinking about toying about the idea of a Here and Now newsletter, actually. I've thought about it. Let me know what your thoughts are, listeners. Would you actually read this? Would you like to see this in your inbox? You can get at me. Message me via like Instagrams. It's at Here and Now Show or at Here and Now Rachel's or at Rachel C NYC. But just comments about what are your thoughts on a newsletter? Don't send me creepy things, because I don't dig that. And I am a smart ass and I will say something. You might regret hearing it. I don't think Kelsey knows that. Kelsey's like, she'll do that. No,
she
really.
She'll
totally do that.
Go ahead. I want to see what she does.
He's like, yes, do it and do send me screenshots of the responses because.
Totally, right. Just hit the DMs now.
Hit the DMs
for shits and giggles.
Real though. Okay. Note as we start to wind things down. Once again, we'll remind you one more time. The album drops formally February 22nd. And once again, your crowdfunding and the release for the promotion of the album throughout its release, Kumi. That's and that's going to be available on all the streaming services.
Yes.
Will there be hard copies available also?
Not yet.
Not yet.
But several people are asking, so we'll see.
Vinyl is a possibility.
Maybe.
Things like that.
Maybe. Ooh. If this GoFundMe campaign goes well, then
check
we'll
out
do
the
vinyl.
GoFundMe campaign. Black emoji, B-L-A-K emoji. There's a website. There's the Instagram. There's the Facebook page. There's all that stuff. And that has all the links for the GoFundMe.
Yes.
Kumi, K-U-M-I. I've heard it. You want to hear it, trust me. And the show is at Pianos on January the 24th. They go on at 10. Thank you, Kelsey, for being here. Any parting words for us?
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. Sorry, I spilled the water.
He cleaned it up. I have photos. We'll have to Instagram that.
That's going to be the next album cover. Why does he have a Swiffer in his hand?
Why don't we have Bounty in the studio? Stay tuned for Frequency Theory with Tom Tenney. I want to end things tonight with something from Kumi. This is Poison to Medicine. Thanks again, Kelsey, for being here. It's good to see you again.
Thank you.
Here for all of this stress is slowly taking control.